Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Now tonight we're starting really at kind of the message on worship back the end of July was really the primer to what I want to do over the next few weeks. I want to talk to us about entering the presence of the Lord. I want to talk to us about worship because frankly, absolutely everything that we need is going to be found at the throne of grace. And it's going to be found as we're spending time in His presence. And the way that you and I are going to do that is we're going to do that by worshiping the Lord. So in the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about worship. And we're going to have different kinds of response that are going to be a part of that. And last time you remember when we were talking about worship, we were talking about Revelation 4, Revelation 5. We had this incredible vision that John has that shows us in Revelation a book about worship, more about worship than about the end times, though it says much about the end times. But we get this vision of God. We get this vision of the Son of God. We see heaven, angelic beings surrounding the throne, millions of them crying out in worship to Him. And so when you and I are worshiping, we're joining with the activity of heaven. We're doing what heaven is doing. And so we're going to see heaven as we're worshiping fill our lives, fill this church, and in a very real sense, witness the answer to Jesus' prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Who are we worshiping? We're worshiping God, the Almighty Father. We're worshiping Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. We're worshiping the Holy Spirit who empowers us in life, in situations, and even in our worship. What are we talking about when we're talking about worship? Oftentimes, unfortunately, worship is defined broadly as being music and the songs that we sing, and that is a very key part of it. But what makes worship worship is not just the music that is taking place on the platform, it is what's happening in our heart. So it's not just the performance, and I use that in the right way. We're not performing for anybody but for the Lord, but they're playing and they're singing. What makes it worship is the posture of our heart. Worship is the prostrating, it's the falling down before the one to whom all worthiness is given. The Bible gives a lot of time to worship. It talks a lot about worship. It says much about it. In fact, you don't go very far. You're in Genesis chapter 4, and you read these words. When Seth grew up, he had a son named Enosh. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. So Genesis chapter 4, the fall has happened. Now, worship becomes a part of moving us back to the place that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden. You get that? Because they would go for a walk with the Lord in the cool of the day, which is not the end of the day, it's the start of the day. So they would walk with the Lord. But after sin separated them from God, worship then becomes this means of calling on the Lord and of moving back toward what we had in the garden. It's very, very interesting. God's first commands to the nation of Israel are regarding worship. When you read the first of the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, notice this, "I'm the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me." And there's something about this idea of having a singular focus on God that leads to a blessing, not only on our life, but as we talked about in the book of Ruth, "I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations of those who love me." And when you read the Old Testament, you find God is very centered on worship. I mean, think about this. In the Old Testament, when you're reading through the Old Testament, God used, in the first five, if we take the first five books of the Bible, He used 31 verses to describe the creation of the universe. Now, I don't know about you, but the creation of the universe is a big deal. And God sums it up says 31 verses covers everything that I want to say about that, because that just kind of happened. Then what he does is he uses 243 verses to discuss the standards, measurements, and furnishings for the tabernacle. That's a pretty big difference. Eight times as many verses have to do with worship. What does God care about? He cares about the creation of the universe only as it relates to it being a stage on which to play out the redemption story that leads to worship of Him. There are 16 chapters dedicated to the construction of Solomon's temple as you move on through the Old Testament. When you look at the nation of Israel and you even watch how they camp, it's very interesting because the Old Testament, what you see physically in the Old Testament, is always pointing to a spiritual reality. Consider this. When the Israelites encamped, the tabernacle was in the center of the people of Israel. Then there were the priests, then there were the Levites, then there were the 12 tribes. The priests were in charge of worship, and the Levites were in charge of caring for the tabernacle and assisting the priests. The priority was worship. Even in the Levites' responsibility, which they're the priestly tribe in the Old Testament, a young man could be a soldier in the Israelite army at age 20. A Levite could begin serving at the temple at the age of 25, but a man could not become a priest until he was 30. And the reason why is because worship was so important that God demanded a spiritual maturity of people. Before somebody leads, they would be spiritually mature. Worship's a priority for the angels. We know that when we look at Isaiah chapter 6. You have the angels, and they just continually cry out in an antiphonal voice, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And we saw last time in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, "I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders, and they sang a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb.'" I mean, it's worship. Everything is worship. And incidentally, angels sing at the beginning of creation and at the end, but they don't sing in between. It's very interesting. When you read the Bible, it's almost as if when sin occurred, the singing stopped. Which says something about worship as well and the holiness of worship. In Psalms 100 in verse 2, it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with singing and with joy." So we're worshiping because it's a priority in heaven. Why do we worship? Because God is worthy of praise. I mean, when you and I consider what God has done for us in saving us, when we consider God's power and the things that He can do, to behold God's glory and who He is for one second would elicit from us, if we could see Him in His undiminished, unveiled glory, would elicit from us worship on a scale like we have never, ever known it. It's the appropriate response of all creation to see the One who is praised forever, the One who is eternally holy, is to worship Him. It is the purpose of our creation. It's why we were created. And it's really, honestly, the only thing that will bring us true joy. In fact, let me just say this, that worship can transform us. It can change us. In fact, everybody worships something, and you become like the object of your worship. Whatever it is that you worship, that's what you become like. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 115. Very, very interesting. Psalm 115, why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him, but their idols are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them. And so will all who trust in them. There's something very simply about what we worship that has this effect on us. It either, the things that are priority in our life determine the quality of our life. When you worship God, when you behold His glory, it's going to transform you. It's going to transform me. We're going to leave different. When you come into this service and we're worshiping God, I promise you, you set your heart on Him. You'll be a different person when you come out of this place. There's something about the presence of God that changes us, makes us different. Worship transforms us, and God invites us into His presence. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Where God is worshiped, there He will be. You know, the Bible says this, Psalm chapter 50 and verse 23, musicians, you can come. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me. And this is what happens. You're honoring the Lord. Listen, when you purposefully sit outside and don't get in. You all are great. We had a great crowd when we started, so it's a good night to say it to everybody. But if you sit outside and you're like, I don't like the first few songs, I'm going to wait until, you know what happens is you're saying what I like and what I want and what I prefer is what I'm going to do. That's not the heart of worship. That's not prostrating yourself before the Lord. You know, when we're in and we're honoring the Lord, we're worshiping the Lord, what happens is the psalmist says this, you're preparing the way that I might show him the salvation of God, that I might show him the deliverance of God. How many, if you need to be delivered, when you're worshiping, you're preparing that deliverance. When you're worshiping, God is coming into this place. When we start the worship, we're welcoming the Lord. Listen, Would we give our God any less than we would give the people we would applaud in this life? I mean, honestly, a team, your favorite team comes out onto the field or out onto the court. What are we going to do? We're gonna clap. We're going to cheer. You know, people are going to yell. People are going to go crazy. And, you know, and now here come your Missouri State Bears. And everybody's like, yay. Here come your Evangelical Crusaders. Yay. Here come your Kansas City Chiefs. Boo, you know. You know. But honestly, if it's your team, you're going to be like, yay! Here come your Cards. Here come your Royals. You know, you're going to be cheering. You're going to be, even if you're a more reserved fan, you're probably going to clap, especially if they're like, if it's a big game. Would you give God less? I mean, what we're doing is we're saying, God, we're here. Come into this place. Come into this place, oh God. Be glorified. Come into this place. Let your presence. Jesus, we welcome you into this place. And the heart of worship is to welcome the Lord and to say, we want you. We need you. What happens is, it establishes His rule and His dominion in our presence, in our midst. Because where He is, there His kingdom is. You know, Jesus, when He was here walking on the earth, wherever He went, He banished disease. Why? Because in the kingdom, there's no disease. Wherever He was, He met people's needs. He touched people. He saw where they were at. He worked with people. He forgave people because the kingdom was there. And when He's there, His kingdom power, His dominion, His authority is there. Worship is the fountainhead of all power from the throne of God. It is the thing that releases the release of God's purpose in our lives. The restoration of His rulership all comes as we worship. So what we're saying is, as I'm worshiping, I'm believing God's going to go before me and fight the battle. We're going to look at some scripture that talks about that, where it actually happened, where all they did was sing and the battle was won. See, as we're singing, we're not wasting our time. And I'm not suggesting we substitute calling on God by way of prayer. We substitute that for singing, because I don't think it has to be either or. How many know that there's times the presence of the Lord is there and other people are singing and you're praying because you know what you need from God, but then you're singing too? How many know that the best times with the Lord are a spontaneous mix of singing and prayer, of calling on Him and worshiping Him, and that in spending time in His presence, you find that He's gone before you to fight the battles and to do things that you couldn't begin to ask or imagine? Listen, I'm just telling you that as you and I give ourselves to worshiping the one who is worthy of all of our praise, amazing things are going to happen. Listen, when we're worshiping God, He is going to speak. You know, the Great Commission, you may not realize this, but the Great Commission came, Matthew chapter 28. Before Jesus gives the commission, the verse before that, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Then Jesus came and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." It's as they're worshiping that the Lord speaks. You see it again in Acts chapter 13. It's while they were worshiping, the Spirit said, set apart Saul and Barnabas to the ministry to which I have called them. Listen, it's as you and I are worshiping, God's going to speak to your heart. As we're here in the presence of the Lord, He's here. He's going to talk to you. You need wisdom, He's going to give you a sense. I can't even say how many times as I'm just worshiping the Lord in my prayer time, God will speak to my heart different things at times that I write down or prompt me on something, directing me, giving me a sense of, I need to do something. I need to take care of this. I need to check this out. I need to call this person. I need to, you know, and it comes as we're worshiping Him. Listen, it's not just singing. It's focusing our heart on Him. And when we do that, He's going to do amazing things. So tonight, I don't know what you need from the Lord, but I would say this. Everything we need is found in His presence. And some of the greatest ways to get in His presence is just to worship Him.